This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Yes! We finally made it. Welcome to episode 400 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams.
Where are you? I can still hear your voice.
Yeah, Glyn's lost in the crowd, apparently. So we finally made it.
This is the party, the 400th cocktail party. Where are
Fantastic.
You?
Fantastic. Where was my invite? It obviously got lost in the mail.
What? We just showed up. Just the other 7 hours. Hey, Mr. Davidson, how are you? Something, come on, lovely. Thank you. Oh, mate. Oh, and the ball, free alcohol too, which is great.
Of course there is.
It's lovely of the restaurant to cater for free, just as a celebratory thing. Yeah. Happy 400. You should show up, dude. This is good stuff.
Yeah. My invitation obviously got lost in the mail.
What's his name?
Yeah. How have you been?
You know, happy 400, Bruce.
Thank you, mate. You've had 3 weeks off. You've had time to gear up for it.
We finally, and we almost didn't make this week either, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Both of us are coughing up our lungs.
Yeah.
I was so sick the other day with man flu.
Right.
If I'd had the energy, I would have started a GoFundMe page for myself.
Right.
Yeah, I figured I wasn't going to survive. Yeah, we better get that. Yeah, the something to keep the kids, you know, in the way they want to become accustomed to for the rest of their life.
And right.
So I was going to start a crowdfunding, but it didn't happen. I didn't have the energy to fill in the form.
Right. Of course not.
It's a terrible thing. So we've both been quite unwell.
Yeah, I'm over the worst of it, but still a bit.
But you know, we suffer quietly as us men do.
That's right.
Hardly a soul knows about it.
That's it.
It's been good. I talked in since I've been in Brisbane?
I don't think so. No.
So I went to Brisbane. In our time off, went to Brizzy and did a fabulous talk on travel photography for Digital Camera Warehouse up there. And I'm going to say I was fabulous. I was by far the best speaker on the night, which is always a good thing.
Excellent.
So that was really good, and did a couple of nice workshops up there, had some fun, lovely weather. And then I did something I don't normally do.
Yeah.
I did something different photography-wise. I did some mountain bike jump photography.
Oh, I saw that.
It's a couple of shots of my friend Amanda's kid, who loves to jump on his bikes and jump stuff.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to take some photos.
And you were doing some high-speed sync flash.
Yeah, so Amanda's an amazing photographer. I mean, it's just leaps and bounds better than me. She's phenomenal. I taught her everything she knows. And she's gone way beyond anything I can do. She's a great photographer, but she's pretty much all natural light.
What's her name?
Amanda Fraser.
Right.
She's smart enough not to listen to the podcast, so I can say nice things about her. So she's as a natural light photographer, it doesn't really go great guns for doing high speed mountain bike stuff as the sun's setting, which is when you kind of want to get that nice light and all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Just to get enough shutter speed up to be able to freeze the subject and still be able to see the subject without being stupid ISO. So I was asked if I could do some flash stuff whilst I was up there. So now we're shooting at 2,000 shutter speed and high speed sync, and that was a bit of fun. It was something different, not something I've ever done much of before. So that was a bit of fun. And then in the in-between times, I've been photographering.
Right.
I've been pretending to be a photographer.
Fantastic. In what capacity?
I've been doing some corporate shoots, some headshot shoots.
Oh, nice.
It's not.
No?
The worst thing about shooting for clients is?
Yeah. The clients.
No, the clients are lovely, but they want you to provide work afterwards.
Oh, right.
The workshop's fabulous. You finish the job, you say goodbye, good riddance, and you'd have to talk to them again. Provide them photographs, or you might have to send them an email saying thanks or something along that sort of lines, but that's what's really about it.
Yeah, right.
And, but this lot, they actually want the photos I took of them.
Right.
And I've just finished a job yesterday. I shot all day yesterday.
Yeah.
It was one of those jobs that I allotted 3 hours and it went 4.
Oh, right.
So that extra hour cost them double what the 3 hours would have cost.
Wow.
And I like part of photography.
Yeah.
That's good. So I shot all day yesterday, which means I've got to edit all day today.
Right. Right.
That's it. Lots of stuff I've got to
get done.
And
was that all corporate headshots?
No, that was all corporate. It's exciting stuff. It's exciting stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I had to photograph an acrylic box to make it look good.
Right.
I had to photograph a little metal peg that hangs on some slat wall, make it look good.
Right.
I had to photograph a whole bunch of acrylic boxes in the position they would be, not just the one loose by itself, but yeah,
right.
In a row with little numbers and letters on them. It was, oh, it was a fabulous day out. Got those juices are flowing. But you know what? Tell you what, it was actually kind of cool to do, because you have to get something as ordinary as a tiny little peg that holds stuff up on a piece of slat wall and make it look interesting.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so there's me. I'm positioning it on top of somebody left an iPad laying around, so you put it on top of an iPad. You got the black screen with the reflection, and because you're working I was working inside a dummy store.
Right.
And no lovely studio lighting, no lovely studio backdrops, nothing, no props to make only what's laying around.
You didn't take any lighting with you?
It's not the environment that really allows it to
okay.
So it's all what's in the space. So it really forces you to think outside the box. So it was kind of good.
Yeah,
coming up with radically different ways of shooting stuff and make in a very limited space and limited environment. So it was good.
Right.
So I did enjoy myself.
Cool.
Speaking of Brisbane, which we were before, and we no longer are, but we are again now.
Yeah.
I've got some more workshops coming up in Brisbane for anyone up there who wants to know. So August 11 and 12, I'll be up in Brisbane doing some more workshops. And I might be trying to see if I can put another travel talk on if anyone's up there.
All right.
And I'm working on Townsville, which is far north Queensland.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Stay tuned. There might be some opportunities up in Townsville. And hopefully coming to Adelaide in June as well. If
anyone wants. Wow.
And a couple more bits and pieces.
Mm.
So next, the 24th of May, whenever that is, whatever date that is, if anyone in Melbourne, I'm doing a lunchtime travel talk for Michael's Camera and Video in the city.
That must be about a Thursday, I'd guess.
It's a Thursday lunchtime. Right. It is the lunchtime seminars where people can, kind of bring their lunch and sit in the classroom and listen to somebody waffle on.
Cool.
Yeah, and I'm rapidly going to, once I get all this other work done, build a presentation. I'm doing a talk at the Rosanna Camera Club. I think it's the 28th. It's the 18th of May, which is even more sooner,
mm-hmm.
which means I could actually build something.
That's next Friday. Yep.
Is it really?
Yep.
God, I really better get to work. That's not, that's say like 12, 15 days away. isn't it?
8 days away, yeah.
I'm keynote speaker at the end of the month for the VAPS Photographic Society, Victorian Amateur Photographic Society's annual convention, which is really good. And here's the thing: it's not actually called the Victorian Amateur Photographic Society, but my brain is misfiring.
Okay.
So Stan. Place called Warrnambool. In other words, it's working normally. It's down at
Warrnambool.
Place called Warrnambool, which is really nice. I'm looking forward to getting down there. So I'm doing a keynote speak one night and a workshop for about 30 people the next day.
Wow.
They're making me earn my money, I tell you.
That's
they call it. Yeah. Victoria, it doesn't even say what it's called on their own website. Look at that. Oh, the Victorian Association of Photographic Societies. That's right. I was just put the word amateur in there. It's always wrong.
Nice work. So
that's my busy little month of stuff.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Now, we need to leave a little space here in the podcast.
Oh.
Just for the highlights of our 400 episodes. So just let's do a little break here.
I'm not doing that.
No, wait, just a little break here.
No, I'm not doing it.
Just a little break.
Okay.
And here we are again. So that's the highlight of 100 episodes. I hope everyone enjoyed those. Like our podcast, full of nothing.
Yep.
Yep.
It's the bubbles of nothing that make it really something.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
For those outside of Australia, that was an Aero chocolate bar campaign back in the probably the late 80s or early 90s. Sorry, how has my week been?
Yeah, how's your week's
been?
The week?
Quiet. My grandmother on my mum's side passed away a couple of days ago.
That's not good to hear it.
No, so I will actually be in... yeah, but we hadn't been close for about 11 years since my mum died. So I'll be travelling to Brisbane on the very, very early flight on Monday morning and then flying home Monday night, just going up for the funeral.
She must have been of a fair age.
Oh, mate, she had a good inning. She was due to turn 96 this year.
Wow.
So, yeah, she had a good run.
And was she unwell or just fall off a perch one day?
What happened was she lost her sight about 12
and
years ago.
And fell off a perch because she couldn't see where she was going?
No.
Okay.
For the last 10 years, she has lived by herself in a house blind. Right?
Wow.
And she has cooked her own meals and she did everything for herself. I take my hat off to her. Like, she was a powerhouse. She wouldn't, you know, lay down and take it easy, you know, for anything. And what happened was that she had progressively been getting, you know, less and less healthy. And what happened was about 9 or 10 weeks ago, she had a fall, which meant she had to go into hospital. And my uncle, who is her son, he had been looking after her. Although she lived in the house by herself, he'd pop in a couple of times a week and make sure she was okay. And he said, look, you know, this is getting untenable. You're going to have to go into a facility where people are, you know, keeping an eye on you 24/7. And basically, from the minute she went in there, she hated it. And she stopped eating solids the minute she got there.
Yeah.
And then about a week and a bit ago, she just started refusing to drink anything. So, you know.
It's such a common story, that, you know.
Is it?
Oh, it is, absolutely. Yeah. Especially for someone who's lived that sort of life and that for that long. And that
independent.
And, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and fought through blindness and everything else. And they say, you know what, I've had a good innings. I don't want this.
Yeah.
That'll do.
Yeah.
You know, that'll do me.
So, yeah. So, sorry to bring down the tone of the podcast, but, yeah. That was...
No, it's life, though, you know, or in this case, death.
Yep.
Which is also part of life.
That's it.
The end bit, not the beginning bit, or the middle bit.
So, yeah. So, quick trip up to Brisbane on Monday for the funeral and then fly back that night.
Same day, yeah.
Yep.
Couldn't you drive? How long's the drive?
You're talking a good 12-hour drive.
Wow. Get the bike out?
Well, I suggested that, but the wife wasn't that keen on that idea, so...
Well, because she's coming with you and she'd have to be on the back?
No, she's not coming with me. It's just me going by myself. So, anyway...
Yeah, I think she's seen how you drive, I guess.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's probably fair enough.
Oh, dear. So, should we get on to some stories?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do.
Okay. Yes, let's do it then.
So, in the last 3 weeks, we've seen Flickr acquiring Smug Mug.
Isn't it the other way around?
Sorry, thank you. Smug Mug acquiring Flickr. Thank you. I'd written Flickr acquired by Smug Mug, but then I misread it off my notes.
I'll read your own writing.
So just for anyone that wasn't aware, but you probably are if you're into photography, if you don't want your Flickr account migrated to Smug Mug, you have until May the 25th of this year, 2018, to go and delete all your Flickr content. But after that, all the Flickr accounts will be migrated to Smug Mug.
Really? I didn't know that. That's what's going to happen to my Flickr account, is it?
Yeah.
Oh. Yep. Do I have to do anything?
Well, only if you don't want your stuff to move to Smug Mug.
No, it doesn't matter, mate.
If you don't want that to happen, you need to go and delete it from Flickr. Because basically on May 25th, they're just going to suck everything from Flickr across to the Smug Mug servers and republish it as a Smug Mug account. So I still have a Flickr account and I think it'd be 10 years since I logged into it. So
yeah, I don't need to be worrying too much about that.
Not really. In the last couple of weeks, our good mate John Swainston has been appointed El Presidente of the AIPP.
The Australian Institute of what?
Professional Photoshoppers.
Photographers.
Yes. So I reached out to him on Facebook and said, you know, look, you know, given all the rumblings that have been going around in the last few weeks, it'd be good to have you on the podcast. And
is he going to come on?
He will, not in this episode, but we've traded a couple of messages. He said, look, give me some time to get settled in and to sort out, you know, what our philosophy is moving forward. And once we've got an official statement to make, then, you know, love to come on the podcast and have a chat about it. So
I love John Swainson. Do you know why I love him so much?
Why?
He thinks I'm awesome.
He's a nice guy. I like John.
He's a lovely guy. He used to, for those who don't know, John used to be the head of the company that used to import Nikon into Australia.
Yeah, Maxwell.
It's called Maxwell Optical Industries and a few other names bandied around. Then Nikon themselves decided to come into Australia themselves. So he started his own company doing, also called Maxwell. They were the importers for Tamron, for Lowy Pro bags, for Velvet tripods, a whole raft of other stuff.
Yep.
And luckily enough, when I started my wee little business, he came to me and said, here's our product list, tick off whatever you want.
Wow.
And I did.
Nice.
He goes, that's a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know.
You haven't left me with any stock to sell.
It was a very lot of stuff, and then he sent it all to me, which is fabulous. So I mean, his support for my business has always been huge, and he's done a lot for my business. So I got a lot of time for John, so I'm sure he'll do great things for AIPP.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. I wish him all the best with it, and I look forward to having him on the podcast so we can get the official. From the horse's mouth.
He does some fabulous architectural photography.
I've been watching that stuff.
He's very, very good.
I've been watching that on Facebook over the last couple of weeks, and some of the stuff he's posted has just been mind-blowing. And what really has intrigued me, because I know he's putting a book together, and what's intrigued me is the stories behind the construction of a lot of these cathedrals and why there's a certain, type of buttress used in this cathedral but not in that cathedral, and why there's windows are built a certain way and all that sort of stuff. It's very interesting stuff. So, yeah.
Interesting guy.
Now, we've all seen and heard over the last few years the ongoing debacle of the monkey selfie.
Yes.
For those who don't remember, this is a case of a photographer who gave his camera to a macaque? I can't remember what type of monkey it was, but it was a monkey. And the monkey has held the camera face, like looking into the lens, and has pressed the shutter button and has taken this awesome selfie.
Again, if anyone listened to this podcast, we've talked about it enough times, they should know what it is.
Yeah,
unless you're new to the show, then...
Yes. So in the last couple of weeks, April 24, this story came out on time.com. A U.S. appeals court has favored humans over animals in the copyright lawsuit filed over a series of entertaining selfies taken by a monkey with a toothy grin. So, people will remember that originally PETA, the something for the ethical treatment of animals, I can't remember what the P stands for in PETA or PETA. Anyway, they basically went to court trying to claim copyright ownership of the photograph on behalf of the monkey, which is a ridiculous notion. So it's good to see that the US appeals court has seen sense on that and gone, no, that's just ludicrous, and thrown it out. So the photographer behind it, David Slater, has absolutely spent a fortune trying to defend this copyright claim. So I hope it all works out for him and that he does actually get to claim some royalties on the use of that photo over the years, because it's been used and used and used, and he's received nothing for it. So,
do you know where it's been used the most?
Where? On the stories about this case?
In newspaper articles about the case.
More than likely. So, anyway. So the next one is, this was from theindustryobserver.com.au of a record label who attacked a photographer after they, the record company, used photographers' photograph without permission, and photographer took to Twitter to say, hey, that's not cool. And this was just an extraordinarily bad example of how not to use social media. The photographer reached out and said that, he says, I reached out to the band first, asking them to politely remove it since they'd violated my copyright by editing the photos, because I think they removed his watermark from
it. Well, they edited it so you couldn't see the watermark. They cropped it down.
Whoever I was talking to was more than happy to remove the photos, which didn't actually happen, and then proceeded to ask me how much I charged to get high-res copies for social media that they could use. I told them how much, and then I never heard anything back, which is something I deal with a lot. However, I went and checked, and they still hadn't taken down the photo, so I asked them again, but in good faith, I reached out again. And basically, the record company came back and said, from here on, you are not to contact my band. You've been nothing but greedy and disrespectful about your half-assed photos. $50, you have to be joking. You don't even have a following or a portfolio to back up these prices. Prices aside, you're extremely rude for demanding money and constantly harassing my clients even though they haven't used your images to make a profit. They even gave you credit for the shoddy work you did. If you think charging bands to give you free publicity is going to get you anywhere, you have another thing coming. And it goes on and on and on. And
yeah, I know.
It was just incredible. And basically, one of their responses was, your photo was seen by over 400,000 people and you're rude enough to ask for payment. To which I replied on Facebook, well, maybe we should pirate the album. And then when the lawyers show up, we say, but it was heard by 400,000 people and now you want to get paid for it.
What?
So, yeah.
And like one of their lines is, you aren't a photographer just because you can hold a camera. You should learn that.
Wow.
And they go on. I love the fact that you need a lot of education here, is what they're saying. And they keep spelling the word allowed, A-L-O-U-D, instead of A-L-O-W-E-D. They're not need education. Yeah. How to spell.
Yeah, it was just appalling. How not to do social media and public relations? Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, and just mad for $50. And she wasn't the one to ask for money. They said how much?
Yeah. So anyway, the link to that story will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to read it. Now, probably a couple of months ago now, Mark Silber, who is a photographer from California,
he's a lovely guy, isn't he?
He is. His publicist reached out to me and said, Mark's got a new book coming out. Could he come on the podcast? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Why not? So Mark, for those who don't know, is an author, a photographer, a filmmaker. He has a very popular YouTube channel called Advancing Your Photography, which was also the name of his first book, incidentally. He studied photography at the Peninsula School in Menlo Park, California in the 60s and has progressed right through from the film days, obviously, into this digital era. And he's just about to release his second book. So, Mark Silber, welcome to Shutters, Inc.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be joining you guys down under.
So you've got a new book coming out in about 2 days after this podcast will go live. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's on the 15th of May.
Cool.
So I'm happy to hear that. And I'm thrilled to have this book coming out.
I can imagine. So this is not your first book, though.
It isn't. I've written actually several books, but my most recent one before this, I published almost exactly a year ago, called Advancing Your Photography.
Right.
Yeah, and that was an outgrowth of, I have 300 and some odd interviews that I've done on my YouTube channel.
Wow.
Yeah, so it kind of grew out of those interviews.
And that's also called Advancing Your Photography.
Exactly. And that's why the book basically was, I drew from that content.
So essentially transcribed some of those interviews?
A lot of it is based on my own study and finding, you know, I've been a photographer since I was 12, so I've been at it a few years. And, you know, I've made my own discoveries, but a lot of it had, went back to those interviews that I did with these great photographers and or even their family. In the case of Edward Weston, I went to his house with his grandson and I just managed to find what I felt were the most common threads in all their work and put that together in my first book, which is a complete manual of photography.
Nice.
The new book, however, is just about composition.
Yeah, so I was gonna move on to that because I thought this was a nice segue. The fact that it's called The Secrets to Creating Amazing Photos, 83 Composition Tools from the Masters. And I thought, well, given that you're just talking about, you know, having interviewed all of these masters of photography, it's interesting to hear you refer to them as composition tools. That's not something you normally hear. Most people refer to them as rules rather than tools. You want to go into what made you choose tools as a descriptor?
Absolutely. Well, here's the thing, Bruce. There's kind of two main schools of of composition that I've run into. One of them is there are no rules. It's sort of an intuitive process, and you'll figure it out on your own. Yeah. Okay.
Yep.
I actually subscribed to that philosophy without knowing it for many, many, many years.
Right.
In fact, most of my career as a photographer, I just felt that's the way you learned how to photograph. And, you know, I was asked so many times by my viewers and people at workshops to give them composition advice that I thought, well, maybe there's more to it. So the other extreme, so we have this intuitive school, and then we have this other extreme, which is it's just a bunch of rules, you know, and you need to sort of memorize these rules, and somehow that's going to make you a better photographer. Well, like most things in life, the truth lies in the middle somewhere.
Yeah.
Right? So it's that happy medium. There really are no rules. You know, a rule is, okay, let's take the law of gravity. That's a rule. If you let go of your camera and you're taking a picture in a very high place and you let go of your camera, it's going to fall and break. That's a rule.
Yep.
But if you don't choose to use the quote, rule of thirds, you know, put your subject right in the middle. Is your camera going to break? Is the lens going to pop out? Are you going to be issued a citation by the photography police? No. You see, so really, they're not rules, they're guidelines. And I use the idea of a tool because I really feel like if you have a good grasp of these tools, you can put them together just like a workman can put together,
right,
you know, and you use various tools. Or an analogy I use a lot is cooking. You know, a good chef will use different knives for different things, even though they all, to the untrained eye, they all look like the same kind of, why do you have so many different knives, you know? Well, they serve different purposes.
Yeah.
And if you know those purposes, you can be a better cook. And in this case, if you have grasp of these tools, you have a broader vocabulary as an artist.
Yeah, for sure. Another concept that I came across in the PDF version of the book, which your publisher sent to me, was the idea of mood lines. This is not a concept I've come across in, certainly in my photographic journey. Maybe other people have, but it was new to me. I'm keen to know where you came across that. Was that something you developed yourself, or did you pick that up from somebody else? Or
no, I definitely picked it up from somebody else. And it's in a book that I studied many years ago. And I looked for the source of these mood lines, and it actually comes from an interesting source. There's a very well-known American landscape architect named John Ormsby Simmons. And he wrote a book called Landscape Architecture. So you might think, wow, that's a funny place to learn about photography. Why are we studying landscape architecture? Well, he did a very scientific study to determine how people felt around certain lines. You know, when you're designing a garden or an outdoor area of a building, you utilize lines. You could have curved lines, you could have straight lines, you could have zigzag lines. And what he did was he discovered how people reacted to these lines, how they felt around them. And he called those mood lines. So having read about these and noticed them myself, I contacted his publisher and got permission to use these lines in my book, but with my own illustrations.
Right.
Probably the easiest example is, and I think everybody kind of feels these sort of instinctively, but you may not have ever really put this label on it. But a very flat line gives a feeling of being passive or calm.
Right.
So if you want to convey that sort of serene, passive feeling, have a predominantly flat line in your photograph. But on the other hand, if you're trying to show that things are really active and moving, there's several ways to do that. And one of them is a zigzag line that shows activity.
Right.
And you know, just like we use different words to convey different feelings and emotions, instead of words, we're using a visual form, which is a line.
Yeah.
So it turns out there's 49 of these.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I show examples of each and every one of them and give a little description of it. So again, you can use it sort of like a recipe book. You see one that catches your eye and you think, wow, I want to convey this dynamic feeling. Okay.
Yeah.
So I see that diagonal lines can help add vitality to your image. Okay. Here's some diagonal lines. I'm walking on an old boardwalk, let's say. And, you know, I have a picture of some penguins in South Africa walking on a boardwalk.
Right.
And it really gives a feeling of motion. It's really interesting just because they're stepping on their little feet are up, but they're also walking across this set of diagonal lines, and it gives this great feeling of motion.
Yeah, no, it's a fascinating concept. I don't know why I'd never come across it, but maybe I just don't read and watch enough YouTube stuff. I don't know, but I thought it's an interesting concept.
It's not on YouTube. And I think, Bruce, one of the things I'm really proud about this book is it's really the first time somebody's sat down and cataloged all these things.
Yeah, right.
In one place. You'll find a few here and a few there. I wanted to really try to get the whole landscape of these different components because I feel that's important. The more you know, Joe McNally talks about the language of light.
Sure.
And, you know, I liken this to a vocabulary as an artist, as a photographer. You know, I think especially beginning photographers have such a limited vocabulary.
Yeah.
And it's hard to express yourself if you only know four or five words, right?
Yeah.
So the same thing would be true if you were trying to express yourself visually and you only really knew a few compositional techniques. So what I'm trying to do is give a nice broad perspective. It's not like you're going to necessarily walk around and use every 83 of these all the time.
Sure.
But you have them at your disposal, and at least you have them where you go, okay, yeah, there was that one I saw. I've never really seen an example of this before, but here it is. I'm going to utilize it.
Yeah. I guess it can be helpful to help you interpret your own work in a way. You know, if you've never had these concepts in your head before, you may have photographs in your back catalog that resonate with you for reasons you've never been able to understand. And I guess, you know, some of these things you would look at it and go, ah, that's why I really like that image that I took, you know, X number of years ago.
So true. And Bruce, it's what you're describing is the experience I had when I was putting the book together.
Yeah, right.
I had to go through my own catalog and find examples. And many of the other, I have many examples that are not my own work. In fact, many art, really what you consider classical arts, paintings and so forth, drawings, I drew upon because for two reasons. One, I really like the way they utilize that particular compositional tool. But I also wanted to emphasize something which I think is really important, and that's to realize that photography, believe it or not, didn't just spring up in the last 10 years with social media. I know that's shocking to some people, but you know, as an art form, photography's really only been around about 100 years. It was just barely emerging, not even 100 years, 90 years. Emerging as an art form and, you know, in the 20s and 30s. So what we have is the roots of photography obviously go back, you know, centuries with classical,
sure,
you know, paintings and drawings. So I really drew upon these classical artists, Da Vinci, for instance, Monet, mm-hmm. Rembrandt, Van Gogh, to find examples of many of these compositional techniques. So I found that very interesting to catalog these as well.
Yeah, right. And did you find that some of these Well, things like the mood lines, did you find evidence of those things in the paintings of those masters?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. All over the place. I use one. There's a mood line for that's a very kind of like if you took a pencil and you'd had too much coffee and you tried to draw and it was very jittery.
Right.
You know, and you, instead of it being a flat, straight line, it was a jittery line.
Okay.
That mood line is tenuous, uncertain, and wavering.
Right.
And the best example I found was the self-portrait of Vincent van Gogh.
Right. I'm looking at it in the PDF now. Yeah.
Yeah. Look at all those jittery lines. I mean, yeah. I just put one on the brim of his hat, but really the whole painting
is full of them.
It's full of them. And everything we know about him is that exactly matches the way he felt about himself.
Yeah, right.
Absolutely. Really poor self-value in terms of, you know, who he was and his own paintings and that sort of thing. So I found it very interesting to find these examples. Yeah, and so they're all over the place. Another one is unstable. Yeah. An unstable line, you see that on 128 there.
Yeah.
An unstable line is we have things leaning over.
Yeah.
And this particular painting, you have the river sort of boiling along, but the lines, the mood lines of these leaning trees gives it that feeling of like one of those trees is going to fall over any minute.
Yeah. Right? I think the one on the left already has.
It already fell into the river. Exactly. And the one on the far right is about to fall over. So it gives this kind of, you know, but that's on purpose. The artists obviously use that technique.
Yeah.
To tell that visual story. And that's the other thing, Bruce, is that, you know, the urge in people to tell stories is obviously goes back a long, long ways.
hundreds of thousands of years, yeah.
Yeah. We just love to tell stories. And, you know, we go to a movie. What is it? It's a story. We read a book. What is it? It's a story. This podcast. What is it? It's a story. We love stories.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you can take your visual image and make it pop and really make it tell a story, then you fulfill this very deep urge that we all have. And I'm just trying to help people do that more effectively.
Fantastic. Well, the book is out this week coming. It is called, sorry, remind me, I've got to scroll back up, The Secrets to Creating Amazing Photos, 83 Composition Tools from the Masters by Mark Silber. Mark, where can people find the book if they want it?
The easiest place is Amazon.
Right.
And if you type my name in, if you know how to spell it correctly.
So it's Mark with a C.
Mark with a C and Silber with a B like Bravo, mm-hmm. S-I-L-B-E-R-E. You can find it on Amazon. You can find it all the major book outlets will be carrying it.
And is Amazon carrying both a digital copy and a hard copy?
Yes.
Fantastic.
So, for those who prefer Kindle, that will definitely be in a Kindle version as well.
Okay.
I would like to say, however, I'm hoping more people will order the actual printed copy because, you know, that's where you can really see the photographs. And I think it's important. You'll be able to see them fine on a Kindle, but I think it's important to have that printed version of a photograph.
Oh, for sure. Definitely. Right? For anyone that wants to check out Mark's other books, his website is silberstudios.tv.
Yep.
He has a YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/MarkSilber. All of these links will be in the show notes, as per usual. He's on Instagram at Mark Silber. He's on Facebook at Mark Silber Show. All the links will be in the show notes for anyone that wants to come and check out more of Mark's work. I guess your Instagram is probably the best place to look at your photography, Mark?
Yeah, I have.
Or your Smug Mug, one or the other?
You can, Smug Mug is more, yeah, you're going to see more of my curated photographs there.
Sure.
And Instagram is, you know, Instagram, I have different examples from the book as well as my own photographs, but both of those places are a good starting point. Of course, my library is much deeper than either one of those, but those are a good representation of my work.
Fantastic. Or you can join the other 97,000 subscribers on Mark's YouTube channel. How often are you putting up new interviews on your YouTube channel, Mark?
You know, we try to. We've been sort of on a fairly ambitious campaign of a couple a week, and we're catching up. Yeah, so, you know, at least once a week we try to post something.
Wow.
I have some other creatives working with me as well, so that makes it a little easier because I'm doing a lot with the book, so obviously it takes a lot of my creative attention right there. But
sure,
yeah, we try to keep at least one a week on our YouTube channel.
Wow, that must keep you busy.
It does keep us busy, for sure.
Well, Mark, we wish you all the very best with the new book.
Thank you, Bruce. My pleasure. And, you know, I really must make it to your fantastic country sometime soon. My wife has been there and she keeps telling me I've got to go because I'm a surfer too, you know.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, you'd love it here.
I know. I will make it there.
And thank you for joining us on Shutters Inc.
Okay. Take care.
You know what? Yeah. I really should have asked a couple more questions.
Yeah.
I felt a little rude. Just not, yeah.
It was
more listening. I know it's not my normal way, but that's, yeah, I just sit back there and just have a. No, I was off photographering when
you were. Did
that thing, so I could not. I had to go work rather than just what you do, what sleep and lay around the house.
That's it.
Get told by your wife.
That's right.
Sound familiar?
Pretty much. The next one. Okay, so we got a few stories from Adam Davidson. The first of which is NVIDIA's AI-powered content-aware fill is mind-blowing. Now, I'll admit I haven't read the article, but I looked at the two.
Surprise!
I looked at the picture and went, how often are you going to end up with white splotches like that over a photo?
Well, you might have spilt something on it. Or, you know, it's like the people who don't know how to, like, do a proper content-aware, and they use like, liquid paper on the screen.
That looks like somebody used MS Paint rather than Photoshop.
I think more they're just sort of giving you, like, some extreme examples.
Yeah. So there's the Photoshop content aware fill attempt at reconstructing this woman's face, which was pretty hideous. And then her
face was not that bad.
I was not referring to her face. I was referring to the reconstruction efforts by Photoshop. And then excellent. NVIDIA's is a much closer representation to a human face than what the Photoshop came up with. And it says, while it may not be perfect, it's significantly more similar to what the original photo looked like than Photoshop's reconstruction based on surrounding pixels. So I don't know how NVIDIA's doing it if it's not using surrounding pixels.
Oh, who knows?
There's only so much database searching you can do to come up with an idea of what might have been missing.
Yeah.
I would have thought.
I wonder if it does facial recognition, checks Facebook, finds another photo of the same person.
No, because they've got a before and after of a bug on a twig. But again, it's the same MS Paint white paint splashes all over the...
See, someone's made a hell of a mess.
So I'm thinking they're the after photos. Like, they've started with a normal photo. Then they've done white paint splashes all over it and gone, look at the before and the after. It's magnificent. Look at them. Every one of the sample photos has the same supposed problems of white paint all over it. Like,
just showing extreme examples.
Yeah, but my point is that when you're going to have a need for content-aware fill, it's going to be something other than white paint splashes that you're trying to get rid of.
Yeah, but it might do other stuff even more better.
Like speaking English.
You know, if it has like black splotches, for example, or possibly even puce splotches. It might even do it. So white's extreme, but yeah, you put up this like a greenish splodge.
I'm skeptical. Put it that way.
Of course.
I am skeptical. Anyway, story will be in the show notes for anyone who wants to check it out. But while we're on the subject of AI, Adam sent us another one about how AI is going to do amazing things to low light photography. even much more so than what just increasing ISO will do.
Yeah.
Again, I've not had a chance to look at the video for this because Adam only posted this this morning or last night. So this is a fairly recent addition to the rundown. So it looks pretty impressive if the sample photos are to be believed. So
Well, it's the whole thing, isn't it? How do we know this?
Yeah.
But I want to know what camera they're using that has that much noise at 640 ISO.
640?
Yeah.
Was that what it was supposedly taken
at? Some of them are.
That must have been like an early Kodak prototype from 1977.
It's purple coloured and massively grainy, and it's 640 high. There's a Fuji X-T2 apparently.
Yeah.
Which is a modern.
There is no way it would look like. Oh, you know what? It's a 30 second expose. Oh, no, 1/30th of a second. So it's not even a long shutter. I was going to say maybe they've had long shutter noise reduction turned off.
Oh, dude. That looks like 30.
There is
like
no way.
12,800 ISO.
Yeah. There's no way a Fuji would turn out that much noise.
Yeah, the bottom result that's supposed to be cleaned up is what I'd expect to see.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows? Another dodgy article Adam Davidson's put up for us just to try and make us look bad. Just so typical of him.
And the example three, supposedly shot at ISO 2000 on a Sony A7S Mark II, there is no way you're getting that level of noise off an A7S II at 2000 ISO.
Yeah.
No freaking way known.
So I'm calling...
BS.
I'm calling... Yeah, that'll do.
Yep, definitely. I'm with you. Sorry, Adam, that one's... Nah, not buying that one. Rob Coates wrote in and said, "G'day, Inks. Did you hear about this Wildlife Photography of the Year scandal? Note that the article calls it a long exposure shot. The brightness of the stars supports that. Maybe the anteater was on Valium." Now, this is a story of a wildlife photographer who's supposedly got a photograph of an anteater attacking a termite mound and... it's taken at night time. You can see this bioluminescent glow from the termites all over the termite mound, and you can see the stars in the night sky. It later turned out that the anteater was actually a stuffed anteater. It was not a live anteater. And so that's why he got disqualified for his winning photograph. Because
seems a bit harsh to me.
What?
That being you know, something as simple as being fake, that you get kicked out. I mean.
Yeah. So apparently this stuffed anteater is in a national park in Brazil, and essentially he'd used a photograph of the anteater and photoshopped it into the termite mound, and yeah.
Idiot.
Yes. Anyway. Carl Hemmings, in case you missed Trey Ratcliffe's hundreds of Burning Man images of people being free, it's just so good.
You know, I'm not a fan of Trey Ratcliffe.
Neither have I. I've never been, but this blew my mind.
There's some good stuff. Yeah.
There is some epic stuff in there. And it took me about three sessions to get through all of the images that were there. Because there must be 1,000 images there at least.
That's a great body of work.
I have been skeptical of Trey's work in the past, particularly in relation to his early attempts at HDR stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I am the first to admit that he has become a hell of a lot better at it of late. But this stuff, which is mostly not HDR, it's mostly just, you know, capturing life, is a fantastic collection of images, and I highly recommend it for anyone who's, well, if you've got an interest in Burning Man, or if you're just interested in candid photography of capturing life as it happens, this is a great collection of images. Some very unusual post-processing techniques, like with his color palettes and...
Yeah, it's very, very cinematic.
But it's very cool. Now. Yeah,
But no, it's some very cool stuff.
Well done, Trey, and thank you, Carl, for sending in that link, because I really did enjoy that selection of images. Adam Forsberg posted a link, and I've actually had a little bit of trouble linking to the photograph, so I'm just going to link to the group, which is called Wet Pixel Underwater. And this was a video of a guy, and I think what had happened was the guy had posted a still photograph of his wife in a ball gown underwater with sharks swimming around her.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of...
Honestly, honey, they're not man-eaters, they're woman-eaters.
And a lot of people had queried whether or not this had been photoshopped, and he then posted the video to say, no, it was not photoshopped. Here's the behind-the-scenes video of me actually doing the photo shoot, which, again, I've not had a chance to watch the video, but the photo looked amazing. So, yeah, definitely going to check that one out. Now, have you got any stories to cover before we do?
400, it's all about 400, Bruce.
Okay.
So it's 400 photography. It's Ansel Adams. It's 400 photos of Ansel Adams.
Nice. Photo
in a video.
Nice.
It's a little unusual, but okay. I'll let you watch it. It's kind of cool. It's okay. Not cool, but I'll let you watch it.
Yeah.
Then there's a whole bunch of, there's a link to a whole bunch of photos on Google taken with a 400mm lens.
Nice. I can see a theme developing here.
There's a whole bunch of photographs taken at 400 ISO.
Right.
And then there's a whole bunch of photographs taken with the Canon 400D.
Fantastic.
Now, these aren't collated into any specialised... It's just a Google search for 400.
I'm impressed with the level of research you've done for this episode.
I've gone above and beyond. I thought it was a special day. We better do it well.
You must have spent at least 400 nanoseconds on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So there's my ode to 400 for
that
everybody.
That is awesome. Thank you, mate. Those links will be in the show notes for anyone that doesn't know how to Google.
Only one thing that can top that, dude.
What's that?
Prize giveaway!
Absolutely. Wow. What have we got to give away?
We've got some fabulous... First up, massive, massive thanks to some lovely people who I get to do stuff with. First up to the incredible people at Narbox.
Narbox,
G-N-A-R Box, which is my personal favourite portable computer. It's the computer I take when I travel for doing all my editing and all my storage of photos.
Nice.
They've given us one to give away.
Fantastic.
And because it's used as a travel, I use it as my travel kit. A lot of drone photographers use it. A lot of like GoPro video guys use it because it takes the micro SD card straight into it too.
Right.
But I wanted to give it away for the best travel photo sent to us in the lead up to our 400 episode.
Nice.
And the winner is...
Rob Coates.
Well done.
Well done, mate. We absolutely love it.
You will send us a personal message with a delivery address. Our friends in Narbox, California, IA, will ship it to you directly.
Fantastic. So Rob sent us a lovely image of the Pinnacle Desert just north of Perth, taken late after dusk in the blue hour. And it's just, it's a corker. Thank you very much, Rob.
Okay, so we got some great selfie photos coming.
We did. Well,
relatively great. The whole point was to show how you listen to our podcast, or at least, take some sort of piss out of us, which was good.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I think the best of all of them was Robert Coates as well. But you can't get two prizes, so suck it up, Princess. But I did like that he'd taken your crappy, disgusting, ugly themes for your website. Dude, you're not employed at the moment. Do something about that 1970s bloody-looking website.
Look, if there is a listener who understands CSS... who can help me out with a new theme?
Just change the colour.
But I don't even know how to do that. I'm that crap at CSS. I need help. So if someone can help me with the theme for the Shutters Inc. website, I'm open to your suggestions.
Well, Rob's was great because it was a picture. It was basically emulating our Shutters Inc. look.
Yeah.
And it was Shutters Inc. Or how I stopped worrying and learned to glin and bear it. Was a great play.
It was great.
Suck it up, Princess, you can't have two prizes.
Yep.
So we have from the wonderful, wonderful people at Mindshift Gear, which is the sister company to Think Tank Photo.
Nice.
They've given us their latest, greatest camera bag. It's $200 value.
Wow.
It's so new, I haven't even seen one myself. And that's going to go to...
Rob Van Elven. Well done, Rob.
Which does everything. It shows him in the car, which is where he probably listens to podcasts. You know?
And he's holding up his phone, and he's got the artwork on the phone.
Yeah, I wouldn't necessarily think that listening to our podcast and driving's conducive to safe driving.
No.
I mean, you're not off. Quite easily. And so, but yeah, yeah, you pay your money, takes your chances.
That's it.
So he's got a fabulous bag. So once again, Rob, if you can just send us a message with the delivery address and we'll have the awesome people at MyShip, yes, ship you a bag.
Fantastic.
And then we've got a runners-up.
Okay.
From the incredible people at Black Rapid Straps.
Yep.
Like a $90 strap to give away.
Nice.
And that's going to go to
Carl Hemmings.
Carl Hemmings.
Well done, Carl.
Who's taken a picture of himself with headphones on, which is probably the best way to listen to a podcast because no one has to listen to it, which is good. But he's
put a logo on the T-shirt that says, Shutters Inc., the world's least followed photography podcast, but I love it.
There you go.
Love it, Carl.
And then, so once again, Carl, message, address, etc. And then we've got a couple of lovely friends at Tamron offered me a goodie bag with some stuff in it. No, it's not lenses and stuff. It's just some little trinkety stuff. And I've taken their one and we've changed it into four without asking. So we'll see if they show up or not. And they're going to go to
Paul Friday, David Marland, Adam Forsberg, and Peter Samble.
Awesome.
So thank you, guys, and thank you to everybody who submitted photos in either selfie or travel categories. They're much appreciated.
We
will put all of the photos up in the show notes so you can have a look at what everyone submitted. And
For those who missed out.
Yep.
And I say like two of you. No, this might have been three. Yeah. But for those who missed out, episode 500 is only 8 or 9 years away.
And
we're not imaginative enough to come up with the different themes to start working on it now.
That's right. dear idea. So what's on for your week?
Well, I've got to go get off this damn podcast and go do some work.
Edit
some photos. Then it's Mother's Day this weekend in Melbourne. So hi to all the mums out there.
Newsflash, it'll be Mother's Day up here as well.
Yeah, yeah. but only in Australia. It's not Mother's Day everywhere else.
That's correct. Yeah.
So Mother's Day here, a la Australia.
Yep.
So... To all the Australian mums and anyone else who has Mother's Day on this day.
That's right.
Happy Mother's Day.
That's it.
So I'm going to go visit my mum and take my daughter to the football.
Nice. Who's North Melbourne playing this week?
We're playing at a team called Richmond, which are the powerhouse.
You might as well not bother going.
I know. It's a great dad-daughter time out, and and we get to boo and hiss every time someone makes a mistake with the ball. So it's all good sportsmanship.
I've got to say, Richmond have been very impressive this year.
Yeah, it sucks, doesn't it?
Yeah.
They already won it last year. Well, they won it again? How many times do you want to win the damn thing?
Yes. Yeah. See, my team's actually playing in Sydney this weekend.
Your team's my second team, and they've been doing fabulously well as well.
They've been doing pretty well this year, but I think we're going to get hammered this week.
Well, we beat Sydney in Sydney last week.
We're not playing Sydney. We're playing Giants.
Oh, you're in trouble then, yeah.
Well, not only are we in trouble because we're playing Giants on the Giants' home ground, but we've lost two of our key players. So we've lost Nick Natanui for a 1 week suspension, and we've lost Luke Shuey from a hamstring injury, so he'll be out for 3 or 4 games.
And when key players are missing, it's hard to drive the bus.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. So, I can't remember what the phrase is, but it's something like that.
Right.
Well, I've got to say, possibly worth the wait to get to 400.
Possibly.
If no other reason than the ever so fabulous. I'm just scrolling back to remember his name. Mark
Silver
is coming on and doing a lovely chat for you. Silver, yeah. Was it good?
It was great. Yeah.
So the copies are coming when, sorry?
I've got a PDF version I can send you.
It's autographed?
An autographed PDF. That'd be something, wouldn't it?
Just tell him to sign the screen and then just hit it on through. Marvellous stuff.
Excellent. We can get NVIDIA's AI to knock it up for us.
Take that horrible scribble off the face. See, that's what happens. If you go and buy books and someone's already autographed it, you can use this software to get rid of the things.
Get rid of the autograph, yeah. Oh, dear. All right, mate. Well, you have a good week.
I'll have enjoy the rest of my week. I didn't get to bed till 4:30 this morning, I got up at 7, so I'm a bit. So I might have to nap before I go do some editing.
Yeah, probably a good idea. All right, mate. We'll talk to you in a week.
Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
ShutterZinkPodcast.com.
AnotherAudioToYou.com quality podcast.
For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@ShutterZinkPodcast.com.